Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the L.A. Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And tonight we have a, I want to start off with a special,
Well, it's a video, but we're going to have, you'll have the audio part of it.
Yeah, the audio, it's
it's on Obamacare.
Yeah. And for everybody who wonders why so many people are against this, you'll understand once you hear this, tape. It's about 10 minutes. And you can actually get it on YouTube, Know the Truth About the Government Healthcare Bill. It's very, very good. And I'm going to play it now. And,
so we get the whole thing.
I think it's one of the most pressing issues because they're going to make a decision tomorrow whether or not to throw it out or to,
Yeah, and you see what you think. I mean, I don't really know an awful lot about it. I mean, nobody really
understands the details of it, but it's so frightening, folks, that this is one of the best things I've ever seen on it. And they go line by line.
And who put this out?
One Nation Under God, 3-in-1.
Well, let's play it.
So, but it's somebody who's concerned about it. And you have to see what this is about. It's really frightening.
Okay.
And let's begin.
The Government Healthcare Plan. Page 22 mandates the government will audit all books of all employers who self-insure. Page 29, lines 4 through 16, healthcare rationing. You can only receive so much care per year. $5,000 per individual, $10,000 per family. Page 30, section 123, there will be a government committee that decides what treatments and benefits you receive. Page 42. The healthcare commissioner will choose your healthcare benefits for you. You have no choice. Page 50, section 152. Healthcare will be provided to all non-U.S. citizens, illegal or otherwise. Page 58. The government will have real-time access to your finances, and a national ID card will be issued. Page 59, lines 21 through 24. The government will have direct access to your bank accounts for elective funds transfers. Page 65, section 164. This is a payoff subsidized plan for retirees and their families in unions and community organizations such as ACORN. Page 72, lines 8 through 14. Here the government is creating a health care exchange to bring private health care plans under government control. Page 84, section 203. Government mandates all benefit packages for private health care plans in the exchange. Page 85, line 7. AARP members, your health care will be rationed. Page 91, lines 4 through 7. Government mandates linguistic appropriate services or translation for illegal aliens. Page 95, lines 8 through 18. The government will use groups like ACORN, AmeriCorps, to sign up individually for government health care plans. Page 102, lines 12 through 18, Medicaid-eligible individuals will be automatically enrolled in Medicaid. Here you have no choice. Page 124, lines 24 through 25. No company can sue the government on price fixing, and there will be no judicial review against the government monopoly. Page 126, lines 22 through 25. Employers must pay for health care for part part-time employees and their families. Page 127, lines 1 through 16. Doctors and the American Medical Association. The government will tell you how much money you can make. Page 145, lines 15 through 17. All employers must enroll employees into the government plan. You have no choice. Page 149, lines 16 through 24. An employer with a payroll of $400,000 and up who does not provide the government option will pay an 8% tax on all payroll. Page 150, line 9 through 13. Any employer with a payroll between $251,000 through $400,000 who does not provide the government option will pay a 2 to 6% tax on all payroll. Page 167. Any individual who does not have acceptable health care coverage according to the government will be taxed 2.5%. Page 170, lines 1 through 3. Any non-resident alien is exempt from individual taxes. You and I will pay for them. Page 195, officers and employees of the Health Care Administration will have access to all Americans' financial and personal records. Page 203, lines 14 through 15 reads, the tax imposed under this section shall not be treated as tax. Page 239, lines 14 through 24. The government will reduce physician services for Medicaid. The seniors, the poor, and the low income will be very affected. Page 241, lines 6 through 8. All doctors, no matter what specialty, will be paid the same. Page 253, lines 10 through 18. The government will set the value of doctors' time and professional judgments, literally the value of human life. Page 265, section 1131. The government mandates and controls productivity for private health care industries. Page 268, section 1141. The federal government regulates rental and purchase of power-driven wheelchairs. Page 272, section 1145. Regarding the treatments of certain cancer hospitals, cancer patients, welcome to rationing. Page 280, section 1151. The government will penalize hospitals for what the government deems preventable readmission. Page 317, lines 13 through 20. Prohibition on ownership and investment. The government tells doctors what and how much they can own. Page 317 through 318, lines 21 through 25 and 1 through 3. Prohibition on expansion. The government mandates if hospitals can or cannot expand. Page 321, lines 2 through 13. Hospitals have the opportunity to apply for an exception, but community input is required.
Acorn.
Page 335, lines 16 through 25, and page 336 through 339. Government mandates establishment of outcome-based measures. Healthcare the way they want it. Rationing. Page 341, lines 3 through 9. Government has authority to disqualify HMOs, forcing all into the government health plan. Page 354, section 1177. Government will restrict enrollment of special needs individuals. Page 379, section 1191. More bureaucracy. The Telehealth Advisory Committee. Page 425, lines 4 through 12, government mandates advanced care planning consultation. Seniors will be interviewed every year for health issues and decisions made as to what care they can and cannot receive. Page 425, lines 17 through 19, the government will instruct and consult regarding living wills and durable powers of attorney. This is mandatory. Page 425, lines 22 through 25, and page 426, lines 1 through 3. government provides approved lists of end-of-life resources guiding you into death. Page 427, lines 15 through 24. Government mandates program for orders for end of life. The government has a say in how your life ends. Page 429, lines 1 through 9. An advanced care planning consultation will be used frequently as patient's health deteriorates. Page 429, lines 10 through 12. Advanced care consultation may include an order for end-of-life plan, an order from the government. Page 429, lines 13 through 25. The government will specify which doctors can write an end-of-life order. Page 430, lines 11 through 15. The government will decide what level of treatment you will have at end-of-life. Page 469. There will be community-based home medical services, such as ACOG. Page 472, lines 14 through 17. There will be one monthly payment to such community-based organizations.
ACOG.
Page 489, section 1308. The government will cover marriage and family therapy, which means they'll insert government into your marriage. Page 494 through 498. The government will cover mental health services, including defining, creating, and rationing those services. If you care about the health of your family, your parents, or grandparents, we urge you to contact your representative and ask them to oppose this bill. Don't be fooled into believing that this is an affordable option. This is mandatory, not an option. It's not free, and it comes with a $2 trillion price tag. Most importantly, educate yourself and read the bill.
I wonder if the bill's online.
We're going to look. We couldn't go through it. We'll have to, it should be. But check and see. So I hope you might pass this on and go to that.
Taken out of context, you don't know.
Yeah, but based on this, this is the most information we've received on this entire bill since it's been in grain. I mean, it's never talked about as far as mainstream media.
No, representatives never talk about it.
No, nobody knows what the hell's in the bill. They just passed it. And that the only people that seem to know it's in the bill are the ones that are out there, opposing it. There was an article here I wanted to read before we go on. This one was amazing. Obama's child soldiers. Yes, folks. They're supporting
a regime that supports
that has child soldiers.
This is from Infowars.com, and it's by Kurt Nemo.
Right.
Syrian rebels fighting to oust President Bashar al-Assad have been accused of using children as fighters in violation of international conventions banning the recruitment of child soldiers, a senior U.S. official said on Monday.
UN
official said on Monday. The accusation follows the trial of Congolese warlord Thomas Lubanga Diallo for the same thing. He was hauled before the United Nations Court at The Hague and convicted of war crimes. A film produced about the child soldiers of renegade Africa warlord Joseph Kony received attention at the same time the UN convicted Lubanga Diallo. The group responsible for the film, Invisible Children, has since been exposed as a globalist NGO tool in propaganda campaign coinciding with the Pentagon's move into strategic and mineral-rich regions of Africa. In addition to using child soldiers, the Syrian opposition is accused of having kidnapped, tortured, and executed members of supporters of Assad and members of his security force and repeating the now predictable pattern established in Libya. Like Libya's rebels, the Free Syrian Army is overrun by al-Qaeda operatives. The CIA, Mossad, and Blackwater are calling the shots. This was spelled out in an Arab League report on the conflict. Obama has pledged non-lethal assistance to the Free Syrian Army. U.S. officials said that the delivery of aid to rebel militias would dominate the agenda when the Friends of Syria, a coalition of Western and Arab powers, opposed Mr. Assad. Meet in Istanbul next Sunday, the Telegraph explained.
In other words, Obama, like Diallo and Kony, is committing a war crime. He is facilitating behavior determined to be criminal and punishable by the international court by his globalist masters.
Run by his globalists.
Right. So that's take that and stuff that in your hat, Mr. Obama.
Yeah.
You're a freaking war criminal.
He's a fraud.
Terrible fraud.
Just such a fraud.
Yep. I can't support that.
What's that? The money man? Go back.
No, that's I'd rather not go into European.
Oh, that's European debt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although we can talk about this one since it's, I'd like to talk about this one. Euro fraud is J.P. Morgan fraud. Okay. Yesterday, an open letter posed in the public comment section of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission describes J.P. Morgan insider and whistleblower was removed in short order. No cache of the page exists, but it was briefly indexed by search engines. It was dead on arrival. A direct link to the letter now leads to an empty bag page in hopes that it will never be seen by 99% of Americans who tune in only to mainstream news sources for their daily dose of truth. Don't worry, though, because if there's one thing alternative news media learned from Orwell's 1984 and real-world experiences, is that we should always expect the powers that be will attempt to rewrite history. As such, the full content of the post has been copied and archived for posterity's sake. Alternative media is reprinted below.
In the letter, the J.P. Morgan insider reveals that high-level executives and traders at the bank are putting the investments and savings of thousands, if not millions, of hardworking Americans at risk of complete wide-scale market collapse through their machinations and fraudulent practices. Moreover, he suggests that executives at his bank are fully aware of the commodity manipulations in which the bank engages, as well as the risk posed by a European collapse, an event that, according to the whistleblower, will lead to the annihilation of investments within a matter of days. Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So this is happening, folks, and I think it's staggering that we don't hear about it. It's called your Tom Hennigan's Explosive Intelligence Briefing Log is where this comes from. It turns out that there
one argument you'll hear from the majority of Americans and a few who refuse to wake up to the madness around them is that if there truly was an economic and financial cabal in cahoots with the government, we would have heard about it. If this was actually happening, wouldn't there be insiders from the private and public sectors that would have alerted us to the conspiracies? And wouldn't the mainstream media report on it? And wouldn't the Justice Department rigorously pursue and prosecute those responsible for the fraud, theft, and manipulation? It turns out there are whistleblowers, hundreds of them, but any attack on the establishment is met with either a full-on counterattack that targets the credibility of the individual bringing forth the information and marginalizes the content of the message by dismissing it as the ravings of a lunatic or disgruntled employee, or does this simply erase from public view by the very institutions tasked with investigating such activity?
Yesterday, an open letter posted in the public comments section of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission by a self-described J.P. Morgan insider and whistleblower was removed in short order. Right? And we just read that section, but I wanted to go. In the letter, J.P. Morgan insider reveals the high level of executives and traders risking thousands and millions of people's investigations, or not investigation, but investments. This is the letter that he wrote. Organization, J.P. Morgan Chase. Dear CFTC staff, hello, I am a current J.P. Morgan Chase employee. This is an open letter to all commissioners and regulators. I am emailing you today, BC,
because I know
of insider information that will be damning at best from J.P. Morgan Chase. I have decided to play the role of whistleblower because I know longer have faith and belief that what is they are doing for society is bringing value to people. I am now under the opinion that we are actually putting hardworking Americans unaware of the what lays ahead at extreme market risk. This risk is unnecessary and will lead to wide-scale market collapse, if not handled properly. With the release of Mr. Smith's open letter to Goldman, I, too, would like to set the record straight for J.P. Morgan as well. I have seen the disruptive behavior of superiors and no longer can say that I look up to employees at the EdMed level here at J.P. Morgan. Their smug exuberance and arrogance permeates the air just as pungently as rotting vegetables. They all know too well of the backdoor crony connections they share intimately with elected officials and with other institutions.
It is apparent in everything they do, from the meager attempts to manipulate LIBOR, therefore controlling how almost all derivatives are priced, to the inherent and fraudulent commodities manipulation. They too may have only one day stood for something in the past in the client-employee relationship. Does anyone in today's market really care about the protection of their client? From the ruthless and scandalous treatment of MF Global client asset funds to the excessive bonuses paid by companies with their burgeoning liabilities, yes, we at J.P. Morgan
that are in the know are fearful of cascading credit events being triggered in Greece as they have hidden derivatives in excess of $1 trillion U.S. dollars. We at J.P. Morgan own enough of these through counterparty risk and outright prop trading that our entire IB edge space could be annihilated within a few short days. The last 10 years has been a market by inflection point after inflection point, with the most notable coming in 2008 after the acquisition of Bear.
I wish to rename Anonymous as of now as fear of termination mounts from what I'm about to reveal. Robert Gottlieb is not my real name. However, he is a trader that is involved in a lawsuit for manipulation trading while working with J.P. Morgan Chase. He was acquired during our Bear Stearns acquisition and is known to be the notorious person shorting in the silver future market from his trading space, along with Blythe Masters, his IB Global boss. However, with that said, we are manipulating the silver futures market and playing a smaller but still massively manipulative role in manipulating the gold futures market. We have a little over 25% position in the short market for silver futures, and by your definition, this denotes a larger position than for speculative purposes or for hedging and is beyond the line of manipulation. On a side note, I do not work directly with accounts that would have been directly impacted by the MF Global fiasco, but I have heard through other colleagues that we have involvement in the hiding of client assets from MF Global. This is another fraudulent effort on our part and constitutes theft. I urge you to forward that part of the investigation on to the respective authorities. There is something else that you may find strange. During the month in December, we were all told by our managers that this was going to be a dismal,
year.
I can't find, in terms of earnings, and that we should not expect any bonuses or pay raises. Then come mid-late January, it's made known that everyone received a pay raise and or bonus, which is interesting because just a few weeks ago, we were told that was not likely and expected to be paid nothing in addition to base salary. January is right around the time we started increasing our short positions quite significantly again, and this most recent crash in gold and silver during Bernanke's speech on February 29th is of a notable importance as we, along with four of the major institutions, orchestrated the violent $100 drop in gold and subsequent drops in silver. As regulators of the free people of this country, I ask you to uphold the most important job in the world right now. That job is judge and overseer of all that is justice in the most sensitive of commodity markets. There are many middle-income people that invest in the physical assets of silver and gold as well as mining stocks that are being financially impacted in a negative way because of our unscrupulous shorts in the precious metals commodities sector. If you read the COT, with intent, you will find that commercials, even though we have no business being in the commercial sector, which should be reserved for companies that truly produce the metal, are not short by a long shot in not only silver but gold.
It is rather surprising that what should be well-known liabilities on our balance sheet have not erupted into wider-scale scrutinization. I call all honest and courageous J.P. Morgan employees to step up, and fight the cronyism and wide-scale manipulation by reporting the truth. We are only helping reality come to light, therefore allowing a real evaluation of our banking industry, which will give investors a chance to properly adjust without being totally wiped out. I will be contacting a lawyer shortly about this matter, as I believe no other whistleblower at J.P. Morgan has come forward yet. Our deepest secrets lie within the hands of honest employees and could be revealed through honest regulators that are willing to take a look inside one of America's best-kept secrets. Please do not allow this to turn into another Enron. Kind regards, the first whistleblower of many.
Mm-hmm.
And the footnote here says that we would bet on any of this actually being investigated by regulatory agencies, because according to President Obama and other politicians, nobody has committed any crimes. What we would bet on is that this anonymous whistleblower isn't just blowing smoke. Given the recent revelations of other insiders like Greg Smith, the former Goldman Sachs executive director of their equities derivatives business, who warned this week of a toxic and destructive environment at the government's leading bailout darling, we're of the belief that J.P. Morgan is no different. The entire system is rigged, and they have most certainly done a great job of keeping it afloat and maintaining the illusion of stability in the eyes of the masses. One day, perhaps soon, the people will lose confidence in these firms and the government institutions that are complicit in their manipulations. When that happens, look out, because we've got decades of paper receipts and derivatives values in the tens of trillions of dollars that will be shown to be worth absolutely nothing. And when the Ponzi scheme finally comes down, it will be unlikely anything we've ever seen in terms of economic collapse and financial asset annihilation. So there you go, folks. That's what we can expect. And that's, you can get this at Tom Hennigan, H-E-N-E-G-H-A-N, Explosive Intelligence Briefings Law blog. And interesting, huh?
Yeah.
So anyway. There's another couple of good ones here. Oh, this one. This one will blow your mind, folks. This one will really blow your mind right here in the United States of America. It's unbelievable. Right there in New York City.
Down in the Big Apple.
That damn Bloomberg is just...
trouble.
Just unbelievable. And all of his people, man. Just real sick.
Not coming up?
Yeah, it'll come. It'll come.
Oh, there it is. It's from the Activist Post.
Yeah.
By Madison Rupert.
Political correctness or political insanity. New York City school bans words, topics, from tests.
If anyone needed a single case test to point in order to show that political correctness has gone completely insane here in the United States, this is it. With the rise of such practices, we also see the growth of the nanny state, which seeks to control every aspect of our lives. The New York City Department of Education has banned several words in an attempt to be politically correct as possible. Although I see it as pure imbecilic nonsense. There are some 50 words which are officially banned from being used on tests given to students by the city. Some of the more insane choices are dinosaur, birthdays, wealth, poverty, Halloween, dancing, terrorism, divorce, reference to disease, slavery, creatures from outer states and outer space, and many more. In fact, it's not just these words that are banned, but indeed the entire topic cannot be included on any test administered by the city. This is supposedly because such references could evoke unpleasant emotions in the students, according to the New York Post. These subjects were outlined in a request for proposals, which was given to companies who compete to create standardized tests for English, math, science, and other subjects, which are administered multiple times per year.
Unbelievable, huh? Dinosaurs are banned because they supposedly might offend people who do not believe in evolution. Yet this makes little to no sense, given that even the most fundamentalist Christian creationists seem to realize that there were indeed dinosaurs. And even the so-called Creation Museum in Pittsburgh, Kentucky, includes a dinosaur exhibit called the Dinosaur Den. The only people who refuse to recognize that dinosaurs existed are likely delusional or potentially insane. If the people behind the Creation Museum can agree that dinosaurs existed, as they actually have, a number of real fossilized dinosaurs' eggs and a hadrosaur tibia, skeleton casting on display.
A triceratops skeleton casting.
Yeah, on display. Who out there refuses to acknowledge their existence? Words suggesting either wealth or poverty are banned because they could supposedly make people feel jealous or saddened. I guess the New York City Department of Education believes that if you pretend it doesn't exist, it simply doesn't exist.
Seems to me that the Department of Education has a great deal in common with ostriches and babies under 7 to 9 months who have yet to develop the object permanence, according to Piaget's stages of cognitive development.
The same approach is also applied to divorces and diseases, since students might have divorced parents or might be sick in one way or the other.
I guess they believe that if students don't read the word divorce or anything to do with it, they'll simply forget that their parents are divorced.
That makes about as much sense as thinking that if no one says cancer or disease, suddenly no one in the world will have cancer. However, the Department of Education insists that this is not censorship and that this is a complete routine, typical practice.
Oh, yeah, right.
Unfortunately, our government has proven time and again that they are not the most competent individuals when it comes to logic and critical thinking.
And it goes on.
Yeah, it's in the same vein. But, you know, it's really out there, folks. If you want to read the whole article, you can go to activistpost.com.
So you're not going to have the word dinosaur on a test in New York.
Or birthday.
Or Halloween.
Or anything, yeah. I can't imagine what kind of a test that would be. Oh.
Ridiculous.
Let's see if I wanted to go to that one.
British Queen accused of drug trafficking.
Right. I just wanted to see if there was another one here that I... Oh, no, it's okay.
Here, kitty, come on.
Yeah, unfortunately, she's okay. Oh, this must be why there was a thing where the UK is trying to get rid of Press TV, which is Iranian television. This must be one of the articles why. UK Queen accused of drug trafficking. Britain's financial regulator has fined the British Queen's Bank for money laundering failures as a French presidential candidate has said part of the Queen's fortune comes from drug trafficking. The Financial Service Authority has fined the British Queen's Bank, Coutts Bank, £8.75 million for failing to carry out correct checks on politically exposed persons and prevent money laundering. Falling of Coutts, C-O-U-T-T-S, were serious, systemic, and were allowed to persist for almost 3 years. They resulted in the unacceptable list of Coutts handling the proceeds of crime. Mm-hmm. The FSA said in a statement posted on its official website.
The news comes less than a week after a fringe candidate for April's French presidential election said the British Queen owed her fortune to drug money laundered by Jewish bankers in the city. On March 21st, Jacques Chaminade, an independent presidential candidate running in the French election, said a part of the fortune of the Queen of England comes from drug trafficking. No, not any property. There are several other sources, but it is a series of trafficking in which, yes, there is trafficking drugs, Chaminade said on television to the French National Assembly. Known as the British Queen's banker, Coutts was criticized for significant, widespread, and unacceptable failures, as described by Tracy McDermott, acting director of enforcement and financial crime. The size of the financial penalty demonstrates how seriously we view its failures, McDermott said.
There you go.
Money laundering.
The Queen herself.
Never enough for them.
They've always been involved with
drugs.
They always have. It's part of their fortune. This is an unusual one, in that it's kind of predicting the terrorist nightmare in London during the Olympics. It says 2012 Zion Olympics in London coincide with Tish B'Av commemoration of the destruction of the temples in Jerusalem. And so adding to the pile of connections between 2012 Olympics in London and the aspirations of Zion and the symbolic rebuilding destruction of the temple amid tidbits has now come to light thanks to an email from a listener. It turns out that the Tish B'Av falls on the 27th of July this year. And this is the same day that the London Olympics opening ritual ceremony takes place.
Mm.
So the eyes of the world will be on London on 27th of July 2012 for the opening of the 30th Olympiad.
How interesting.
How interesting. Is that 30?
Yeah, 10-20-30, yes.
Okay.
Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av, is an annual fast day in Judaism named for the ninth day, Tisha, of the month of Av in the Hebrew calendar. The fast commemorates the destruction of both the first temple and the second temple in Jerusalem, which occurred about 655 years apart, but on the same Hebrew calendar day.
Fascinating.
London is the new Jerusalem. Stratford, London is to become the host to the Olympic Village, which is undergoing massive regeneration due to the project. The site was claimed to be the last area of suitable wasteland in London. Pretty lucky, huh? Or maybe it was left alone for years for this very reason. I choose the latter. And so, to the point, take a look at the Olympic site with the Google Maps road view. On first glance, it looks like any other map view, but persevere. Take a closer look at the road names.
Temple Mill Lane, Leighton Road, Angel Lane, Great Eastern Road, or the Eastern Star Road, Joseph's Road, Eastern Cross. These are the streets that are around it, around this the 2012 site, the Olympics. For a detailed interpretation of the Masonic, Christian, Judaic names of these streets, see Rick Clay's blog posting in July 2008, or alternatively listen to the program with Rick. Now, this is Red Eye's creation. You might want to check this out, which they have a great show, too. Also, don't forget that Rick and other researchers have been talking about Prince William and his role in the New Age, post-2012. Prince William's birthday is on the 21st of June, summer solstice. Symbolically, he represents the Sun King. In 2012, he will be 30 years old. According to the tradition, the Messiah is or was 30 years old when he started his ministry. And every King David, even King David, began to reign when he was 30 years old. Tom Horn, during a recent Red Ice radio program, highlighted the very interesting detail that the Zohar talks about how a Moshiach, or Messiah, will declare himself in 2012. The year is 5773 in Hebrew calendar. Also, the sun god child, Tammuz in the month of July in Arabic. And who is this Sun King, Messiah or Antichrist, as some have argued? Could it be? A read up on the British Israelism if you want to understand more about the belief that the British royal family is directly descended from the line of King David. You remember David Bay from the Cutting Edge Ministry?
Mm-hmm.
He was the first to ever say that he believed that Prince William was going to be the
Antichrist.
Yeah.
Mm.
The short poem, And Did Those Feet in Ancient Time, by William Blake, has echoes of this legend that connects Israel and England. The poem was inspired by the apocryphal story that a young Jesus, accompanied by his uncle Joseph of Arimathea, traveled to the area that is now England and visited Glastonbury during Jesus' last years. The legend is linked to an idea that the book of Revelation is sending a second coming, describing a second coming wherein Jesus establishes a new Jerusalem. The siege of Jerusalem was the decisive event of the first Jewish-Roman war.
The Roman army, led by the future emperor Titus, with Tiberius Julius Alexander as the second in command, besieged and conquered the city of Jerusalem, which had been occupied by its Jewish defenders in 66. The siege ended with the sacking of the city and the destruction of its famous Second Temple. The destruction of both the First and Second Temples is still mourned annually as the Jewish fast Tish B'Av. The Arch of Titus, celebrating the Roman sack of Jerusalem and the Temple, still stands in Rome.
And the Illuminati card game made by Stephen Jackson Games, 1995, there was a card that looks very much like the destruction of Big Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And as a consequence, some have pointed out that this card could be predicting the next major false flag attack. Does it show Big Ben? Is it showing something that is going to happen during the 2012 Olympics when all eyes are focused on London? Do we have the time and place of the next major false flag attack? Probably so. And, you know, they're going to blame it on Iran.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. So, you know, check this out. Go to the Red Ice Creations blog and check that out, folks. I think you'll be impressed with the site. I've listened to a number of programs from there, so that's pretty good. Obama requests 700.
Do you have another audio? Maybe?
Yeah, I'm looking for one here. There was one. I wanted to read this one, though, because it was really interesting. You want to go to a quick music break and rest ourselves there? Or I can't find a...
It was an audio that you passed.
Let's see. Interesting stuff, though.
Hmm. How long is that? 6 minutes?
Yeah. But I didn't really want to.
I'm sick of Santorum.
Yeah, Santorum thing is. I don't care if they're screwing them or not.
What's that one?
That's only 2 minutes. Dispossession of the Nekov's Bedouin. I saw that before. It was interesting. How they're trying to get rid of it's a genocide.
Let's go, watch that.
It's only 2 minutes, so let's go to that. Settlement in Negev, displacing 30,000 helping out veterans.
Experts fear this may become, the largest mass displacement since 1948.
When they displaced all the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
And, says, as a young girl reading in the protest, says, I am an Arab by Mahmoud Darwish. Record, I am an Arab. You have stolen the orchards of my ancestors and the land which I cultivated along with my children, and you left nothing for us except for these rocks. So will the state take them, as it has been said? Local NGOs and civil society groups see the Prava plan as a declaration of war by the state of Israel against its Bedouin citizens. A UN committee argues that the Prava plan would legalize the ongoing policy of demolitions and forced displacement of the indigenous Bedouin community. Organized by Bedouin women groups to voice their dissent against the Prava plan and Israel's discriminatory policies. Demonstration attracted over 100 women from unrecognized villages and townships which will be affected by the forced displacement. If you want to check this out, go to palestinemonitor.org. Those goddamn Israelis, man. They're just, you know, this is a very important article. Maybe I'd like to read this before the end of tonight here. Israel cuts ties with the UN Human Rights Council.
You want to go to the full?
Yeah, I will. And this is typical.
Well, why aren't they kicked out of the UN then?
Yeah. I mean, they shouldn't even be a part of the UN. They shouldn't even be anything.
It's a rogue state.
It's a rogue state. And Israel has severed ties with the UN Human Rights Council after the committee launched an international investigation into Israeli settlements in the West Bank. Israel Foreign Minister spokesman Yigal Palmer said Tel Aviv would prevent the council's fact-finding teams from entering the West Bank to investigate settlement construction. We are not working with them anymore, Palmore said. We had been participating in meetings, discussions, arranging visits to Israel. All that is over. On Thursday, the council adopted a resolution that condemns Israel's announcements of new settlement homes, demands a reversal of the settlement policy, and orders a probe into how Israeli settlements are infringing on the rights of Palestinians. The resolution was adopted by 36 votes in favor and 10 abstentions. The United States was the only member that voted against it, which shows its isolation in the United Nations. Israeli leaders condemned the UN body, saying it was hypocritical and biased toward Israel. And U.S. State Department spokeswoman Victoria Nuland said the United States had vigorously opposed the resolution on the settlements as counterproductive. It's just going to distract efforts to help parties resolve the issues directly, which is what has to happen here. And it takes us up time and limited resources that the council ought to be spending on other issues. Yeah, right. And nearly 500,000 Israelis live in more than 100 settlement units built since 1967, Israeli occupation of the West Bank and East Al-Quds, Jerusalem. So, you know, you're going to make us do something. We're not going to play with you anymore.
Yeah.
Fuck. These guys are, I mean, Israel is just a sick, rogue nation. You know. And unfortunately, the U.S. is stuck right up its ass. Syrian rebels forced death squad behead army soldiers. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
50 dead, over 100 injured in 3 days of tribal clashes in Libya. Australia offers Pentagon island territory for U.S. spy flights. U.S. to grant more funds to Israel's Iron Dome missile system. And I'm going to advise people. I'm getting the information tonight off the David Icke website, which is really, really a great site. And I think I'll end the show tonight with a few of his words. Stop cooperating with your own
end.
Your own something.
One end.
No rounds in the chamber. But just like this mag, my other seven were also empty. They lay in the dust around my feet. Sometimes you just have to accept that you're in it, shit deep. Another AK burst buried itself into the wall as the weapons report echoed off the houses and down the street. Suddenly, all fire stopped from our side of the road. I wasn't the only one who'd run out of ammo. Where was that fucking Apache? I looked across at Mark. He pulled out his bayonet from his chest harness and pushed the upright blade towards me. It was the field signal to fix bayonets. It was the only weapon he had left.
this up a little bit.
To, you get to the audio. Right there, the audio.
Show us your army skills online. Stop.
And, quote, disasters and problems. And if we can remove that which is causing them, that which is creating them, then by nature, what they are creating will go away, which is from that we don't like, from that we don't want to face. It's running straight at it, and it's infusing that spirituality, unquestioning courage, if that's the word, that comes from that spirituality, and therefore remove what is denying and suppressing the spirituality of everyone else. Instead of floating on a cloud, going round in a holding pattern above the airport, refusing to land, and actually get involved in changing the world instead of escaping from it. Just my view.
And by changing, I mean, you're talking about holding the higher consciousness in the midst of, as opposed to just simply fighting and being in resistance?
Well, fighting is no good, because what the Matrix wants, this illusory manipulated reality, it wants us to fight, because it takes two to fight. You know, as someone said in the 60s, what if we had a war and no one turned up? There'd be no war. It's not about fighting it. It's about removing the cause of it. And, you know, it's like in the days of Gandhi, his philosophy was non-violent, non-cooperation with the system. See, the system only works because we cooperate with it. We, every day, put the bricks and the mortar together for our own prison. You know, if we would not touch the aspartame-ridden soft drinks, if we wouldn't buy them for our children, if we wouldn't drink them ourselves, if we refused to touch genetically modified food, if we refused to support and take part in wars of conquest, which are not about setting anyone free, but by further imprisoning them, then there would be no wars of conquest. George Bush and Tony Blair are not in Iraq fighting in the streets of Baghdad. And they're in their offices, swigging whiskey or whatever. You know, I have this, you know, a solution to wars, certainly modern wars. We have a law that anyone that declares war has to fight in the front line from day one. End of wars. George Bush had been in the front line in Iraq when the first bullet was fired. He would have been under a bed in Houston when the second one went off. And we are cooperating with our own imprisonment. We stop that. We stop the imprisonment. This is why divide and rule is so vital to these people, so that we do not have the unity of purpose, the unity of perception, which allows us to see that we are our own prison warders. Therefore, if we didn't buy this rubbish food, the corporations producing it couldn't produce it because they'd have no one to sell it to. This is the solution. We don't have to hang Henry Kissinger or George Bush and all this stuff. We just have to stop cooperating with their system, and their system will fall.
I wanted to mention, we only got 10 seconds here. Well, actually, we don't have any seconds left. We're now on recorded time, so let me finish that brief ending.
The fact that we're divided and ruled that allows it to continue.
Rise like lions after slumber in unvanquishable.
That was from David Icke's site and interview that he had. And I.
Well, we want to thank you for listening.
I want to thank everyone who's listened tonight. I hope you got a lot out of this.
From Obamacare to New World Order.
Yeah, and everything else in between.
So I hope you listen tomorrow night to Leo, and on Friday night, tune us in with George.
Yeah.
And I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening, folks. Good night.
Good night, everybody.